My name is Libor Wolf. I come from Czech Republic. I grew up in small Czech village, and of course, back in days, that was just soccer. So me growing up was school, go home, throw the backpack, go outside and play on the street with the friends, four against four on the concrete. That was the best time. I think that back in days, there were the moments where you learn a lot of skills and you grow the love for the game. So from the small Czech village, I got to the one of the biggest clubs. It's called Sigma Olomouc. When I was 15, I was called for national teams. So pretty good, 18 to 20 players out of Czech Republic. So I was very happy for that. I played for Czech national team almost 3 years, got to a second division. And then basically I choose the different path and I moved to Spain. I played third division in Spain. And when I was 24, I don't know what happened, but I decided to go to different way. So I started traveling and I ended up in Vancouver, where I 2012, I started with Wolf Soccer in a small park in the middle of the downtown. And I never thought that it would grow the way how it is right now, which we have five academies and we share the love of the game with almost 800 players. So this is my background. I never made it like Alex here. Like he went really pro. And so I'm very happy that we are right now partners here in Dallas. And we can work and help the young players, not only in US, but also in Canada and in Europe, to basically get better as much as they can and share the love for the game, because we both love the game. So I think it's good for now. And Alex, you can take over.
My name is Alexander Jakubov. I was born in Prague and I grew up in Slovakia, in small city Košice, and then I moved to Bratislava. And I grew up playing soccer with my brother. I started at the age of 5-6, and my brother is 2 years older. So basically first 5-6 years, I played 2 years up, and that helped a lot because I was the smallest one. They were all bigger, quicker, but I learned a lot from those players. And then, as Libor said, we just lived by soccer. We went to school. Sometimes, of course, we had even soccer classes before the school. Then we went to school, back home, and playing outside against older kids, where you learn a lot, but it hurts if you don't pass the ball, if you dribble too much. Then the older kids, they don't have passion with you. They just take the ball, and then you learn how to be quicker and how to play smart. I went back to Prague when I was 15 to Sparta Prague, the Academy of Sparta Prague. And after three seasons, I went to FC Porto in Portugal. I got a 2 years youth contract, and there was no second team. There was under 19 and then straight A team. And in that moment, like, the first team was playing Champions League, winning Champions League in 2004. I was there in 2008. So basically big gap between under 19 and first team. I skipped school because of that. So I decided to leave after 1.5 year back home and finish the school and try to get professional there. After my injury, I had to go to fourth division, and through smaller clubs, I made it up to first division. When I was 27, so it was a journey like up and downs in my career, but mostly I spent second and first division in my career. And then I decided to quit when I was 29 and I moved to Vancouver, where I started to coach in Wolf Soccer. And then we decided to go to States together. So we opened a company here and we are both co-owners, and now we are here.
Awesome. What did made you decide to not go coach at a club, but start your own academy? Because I feel when you do play at a high level, talking to other folks that like yourselves, they have a knack for coaching and they enjoy coaching and they want to go coach at a high level. So why decided you to go the avenue of building an academy versus trying to go get your own team at a high level or coaching at a club here in the United States somewhere? What made you decide to start this academy?
The main reason was when I started in Vancouver. So I went to help one of the small team. I think they were like 11 years old boys. So I was just helping them on Wednesday night, and I was shocked the way the quality of the training, team trainings there. So basically no touches on the ball, very slow pace, no energy. And when you go to the pro in soccer or football, it's very, I would say it's a positive but also negative culture, because if you're winning the game, everybody's happy. If you're losing, everybody's unhappy, everybody's negative. So I decided to train kids and help them, because I just wanted to do it my way. I never wanted to be a team coach and have a big ambitions. I just wanted to give kids the technical training, a lot of touches, but mostly the joy, to not too much focus on results, on the games, but basically I was so happy to spend time with them and train. And the same way how we were training, like playing the soccer outside with no structure, then that's what I wanted for my kids in Vancouver. And basically from four kids in the middle of the park, in the middle of the downtown, we basically start growing, and more players were coming. People were walking around and it's like, oh, what is that? And they were asking. And that was the main reason, not big ambition, like for team coaches, and also freedom. Because if you coach, you are part of some club, you have always someone behind you who tells you what to do. And I never wanted to be the way, because I have my philosophy, my idea, and through my career and many coaches, what I experienced, I realized that I just don't want to have a TD and telling me what to do. Because most of the TDs, and don't get me wrong, not all of them, but most of the TD, they just focus on results. They want a club to be successful. But for the youth environment, I don't think so. It's really good. You have to find a balance, of course, between winning. But I just wanted to kids enjoy that and improve technical, because even 10 years ago, kids are not playing outside anymore, because the life is so fast and structured. So it takes the creativity away. I wanted to say, okay, I'm going to build some program for kids to try to enjoy, make a mistake, but learn by mistake without someone yelling at them or screaming at them that they have to kick the ball and run. They have to. I was tired. Like, honestly, the way I was looking at the football, at the training, was absolutely different what I saw in Vancouver. And most of the club is just unbelievable bad. I'm not saying that way, because the coaches, they were just yelling at the kids. Coaches wanted to win the game, and the kids are not enjoying that. And I think the most important thing in sport in general is to enjoy, especially on the youth level. Once you get the pro, you will have a time for negativeness and other stuff.
I like that. I think in our today's culture, especially here in the States, or even in North Texas, let's make it really local. If you go onto the pitch any singles, any weekend, and you go to watch any of the matches going on in any of the local locations, you'll hear some coach losing their mind on the sidelines or over silly things. And instead of, as a parent, I think there's different levels of coaching, and yanking a player off the field for one out of bound play or two out of bound possessions, and then throwing them back in and seeing if they can do it or if they've improved their status without losing their temper, goes much farther and allows the development like you're talking about. I don't think we have enough of what you talked about, the free play. We have so much structure. Everything is scheduled, and even training sessions are too structured, as I'm learning. The more I have done this as a parent, there's a lot of structuring. So what are your core philosophies then for Vulse Academy, and how do you try to apply it? You said you had, I wrote it down, five academies across the world. How do you apply your philosophy then here in Dallas? And what is your philosophy?
So our philosophy is, of course, the core is skills training plus the freedom of the play and those game realistic situation, 1v1, small games. We use that a lot in our practice. Like first 20, 30 minutes, we focus on the skills, which is very necessary for all the players, especially in the youth age. We focus on the first touch, on the basic, the first touch, how you dribble the ball, how you look up, how you talk, how you ask for a ball, how you get ready for the receiving of the pass, right? So all those basic elements, we focus on that. And then we apply those skills in the exercises for 1v1, 2v2, small games. So that's our core and philosophy, to use those skills, make mistakes with those skills, and repeat again and learn from mistakes. And we encourage them to be confident with the ball, to ask for a ball, to not be hidden, right? Because of course, when you don't have that skills level, then you try to hide in the game and not receive the ball because you're scared, because someone will start to yell at you that you don't control the ball or you make a mistake, right? So that's why we ask the players to always get the ball and to try to go 1v1, to go 1v2, lose the ball, win the ball back, try again, right? No one at our practice, no one will yell at you if you make mistake, if you lose the ball. We would yell in a positive way, or we would ask you to talk more, to be ready, to be on your toes, to receive the ball quick, to do it quicker. That's what we focus on, to like to make those players do those things. So that way we get a little bit, we care about those basic things, like asking for the ball, be on your toes, be always ready, right? So then we can stop the practice and tell them why, but we will never yell at the player if someone makes a mistake, right? If someone lose the ball. So that's our philosophy, and that's how we apply those things in our practices.
And can I add one more thing? And I think for us, the most important thing, we love the game. Okay. This is something what we want to do. We do that because of, we enjoy that. And I think for us to share the passion. So basically when we go to the training, we are happy. So that's the main focus, what I see, and main thing, what I want to see the kids coming to the training with a big smile. You have to build a positive environment, basically, that we all enjoy that. Because, for example, if we have a prepared training and waiting for the kids, and we see kids coming to the training with sad and angry or no energy, body language. So then we ask them, well, so why are you like that? Why are you not enjoying? You're going to the training. It's supposed to be nice and happy place. And so we ask them and we send them back and come back with a smile. Because first of all, you need to have for us, it's very important, energy, body language. You have to show us that you really want to be here. We all want to enjoy that. And this is the first step in World Soccer Academy. We just don't train because it's our job, but we train because we love the game. We want it. We are like to be coaches. We want to be professional coaches, but with positive feedback. So if someone make a mistake, no problem. But if you make a mistake by laziness, that you stand there, you look at it, you don't want to be there, then sorry, this academy is not for you. And I think you have to teach them at an early age.
So how do you then, looking at this from not so much the player perspective, then as a parent, how do you set the expectations to the parents then for that? Because I hate to say this, and maybe I might offend someone, but some parents are very coddling or helicopter parents over their kids. And at the end of the day, they're worried about their player having their feelings hurt. And at the end of the day, that's, I understand you're trying to create this positive culture, but how do I describe it? There are parents that have never had their player experience a tougher environment. And I feel as we go through this and we're having more cultures coming over from other parts of the world, it's not that we have created a culture of, I don't want to say soft players, but we've created a culture where kids aren't getting yelled at. Everything's catered to the player and that's a culture we created here in the United States. If you switch over to American football, that's not the case. I can tell you that American football practices are chaotic and crazy and can be. And then you switch over to football to the rest of the world and or soccer, whatever you want to call it. And we've created a culture here where it is not as it's harsh, but it is more soft. I can't describe it. The tone is not there. Or expectation, that might be the better word to use. The expectation of the player and the parents' expectations coming into it are much lower. And how do you explain it to be more of a high level? And it's not that you're being mean, you're keeping the positive environment there. My son went to go to one of your, what I call it, scrimmage Sundays. And Alex there was, he was firm. It was nice to see, giving guidance. He gave input on what to do and how to do things, but it wasn't mean. I didn't think it was mean, but the expectation was there. And how do you plan on telling your parents, here's our expectation of your players, this is how we talk. And you have an, if you have a problem, how can you expect them to address it with you? I mean, I don't know how to describe it much better than that. I'm hoping I'm making sense.
No, so as we are from Europe, from Czech Republic, right? And we were, I started soccer when I was 5, so that's 27 years ago. And that was tough, right? There was less positive environment. It was more strict. It was like, it's in our culture, but it helped us. It formed us as a players and as a human also. So I think for, it helped me in my later professional career, right? Because once you get pro or once you get to competitive level, even if you're under 15, under 16, it helped you, right? Because you could expect a little bit more and tougher coaches, players. I was in Sparta Prague when I was 15, and every preseason I was sitting in the change room and expecting or waiting what striker will show up, and they want to take your spot. So you had to protect your spot every 6 months, right? During the preseason, there were new players. So I was, since I was in that environment, I was ready to fight for your spot, right? Because there was only 20 players in the under 15 Sparta Prague category. There was no Sparta Prague East, West, North. There was only one Sparta Prague, and everybody wanted to go to Sparta Prague or to Slavia Prague. So you had to protect, and it was tough. But as you said, we are strict. We are not mean. Also, our academy is not for everyone. If you want to be there, you have to follow those rules. We would never be mean and yell at the kids, as we talked before, but we have to have some boundaries and some rules set for those players, and they have to understand that that we take it serious and we need those players to take it serious as well. Sometimes, of course, the parent want to take it serious more than the player.
We never take it more serious than our players.
But I think we have the mix and good balance between to be strict and have fun with those kids. Actually, 3 days ago, I received an email with the feedback that they were asking about our summer camps. And the feedback was that we have very positive environment with a good energy. So, yeah.
I think that's key. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I just want to say, I want to add one thing. So over the 10 years, for example, like we are strict, but we want to be fun, right? Because the kids are supposed to enjoy with us. We are not like crazy that we're going to be yelling constantly because you're going to take fun away. But for my past 10 years, me coaching, only 3 players I had to send out from my academy, from our academy in Vancouver. One was a father disrespect me, basically. He disrespect me. I said, listen, no, this is, we cannot work together. I cannot train your son anymore. The second one, there was a big divorce and parents, they were using the child. And I said, until you guys sort it out, I'm not going to train your child because it's sad. Okay. I don't want to be part of that. And third one was just the boy didn't enjoy. He didn't want to be there. Parents were pushing him. And I said, listen, no, this is not finding different sport. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to save your money, save your time. He doesn't want it as you want. And there was only 3 main kind of things that I had to send kids out. But you have to, at early age, you have to basically explain them. You guys are parents drive you here. It's parents' time. It's our time. And soccer is a competitive. Even on at early age, it's a competitive sport. And we are not babysitters. We tell them, we expect them to enjoy it, but expect them the rules. And if the parents, they misbehave, we tell them straightforward. And that's the one thing what I learned over the 12 years working with the parents. I tell you truth. I'm not going to lie to you. Like some academies, they would tell you, hey, I'm going to make your son professional. I tell you the truth. I tell you that your son loves it. Your son has a potential, but you never know what's going to happen. Don't expect him to be professional, but not, because not even one person make it. In Europe, it's so competitive. So sometimes we tell parents, listen, this is not for Europe. And they are sad. They don't like this answer, but we tell them straightforward, focus on the school or don't go to Europe. It's very competitive. Your son is not on the level. And I think it's the right thing to tell them instead of sending them to Europe and giving them high expectation. because we see that from our perspective, right? Alex said, back in days in Europe, it was competitive. We had coaches, they were physically abusing us. And they were harsh. But now the time is different. The world has changed, which we understand, but we still want to keep the competitiveness with a lot of fun.
I think you touched on it. It's serious, but structured. You can have a lot of fun within those parameters. Just because there's structure and you're serious does not mean there can't be any fun. I think parents and kids, I think most people don't understand that you can have parameters and boundaries. And that's Alex's word that he used, that you can also have so much fun with inside of that. And I think we have to re-educate ourselves because how competitive the game is, that we have to listen to the experts that are out there and listen to what they have to say. I will say there's a lot of skills coaches here in North Texas that have played at high levels and some have never played at high levels. They're just good at technical training. And I think, like you said, truth. I think truth is such an important concept to have because parents get wrapped up in the idea. We talk about here in the United States, about 1% of all soccer players end up being a pro. They never talk about what level. There's multiple levels here in the United States. And I got thinking about that. And I always want to have that conversation when they give that stat is how many of those 1% or less players end up going to skills, going home and just kicking the ball and putting pretty much a hole in the wall in the home because they're playing so much.
Yeah.
And I think if you start looking at those numbers, so if you take that, you have 1,000 kids, out of the 1,000 kids, you might have 50 kids that are truly dedicated to the game. And now you're taking those 50 kids and that 1% now becomes a larger number because they're obsessed. They love the game. And I don't think parents see that, but that's a whole other topic on another day. As you're building the structure and boundaries, yes.
I would like to go back to fun and strict. Don't get me wrong. In professional soccer, there is a lot of fun, right? Even during the practice, there is fun. You see all those videos, all the big players, they have fun, but they know how to switch to serious mode and they don't know when to have fun and when to train hard, right? We have 60 minutes for the skills training. 60 minutes is gone like that. So if you spend 10, 15 minutes just talking, laughing, and disturbing players, then it would be helpful for everyone, right? So in those 60 minutes, there is, of course, time to fun, but you have to know where to start to work hard and switch to get serious because we have 10 players in the group. And most of the players, or I would say all the players are there to get better, right? So if one, two players start to have fun more or disturb the other players, it's also not fair for the rest of the group when they want to improve, right? So that's why we explain them, listen, we have 10 players. Either you all take it serious or you will be sending home. We will be sending you home. If you don't want to take it serious, you have to find something else because then you slow down the group. Then it's not, as I say, it's not fair for the rest of the group.
I like what you're talking, like one or two players, but I think people get confused with laughing and giggling as having fun when being competitive and being doing something you actually love.
Yeah.
It can be hard and strenuous and it can be fun at the same time because you're pushing yourself. So with that being said, how do you push the players in your sessions? They can only go so fast and do it efficiently. So how else do you, other than telling them to push, is there ways that you push them to be more efficient at how they're doing it? Is there a parameter you all set to do that? Or is it something that you have built in the structure of your program?
You have to have a feeling for that. I always say skills training is different than team training. Okay.
Right.
Skills training is not for everyone, not for every coach. I just had a conversation in Czech Republic and one of the guy who actually educate coaches and he comes to me and says, Libor, 80% of the coaches, they come and ask for the certificate. They never play the game. They cannot even kick the ball. So it's strange. A lot of people, they want to have certificate, but they can honestly, from my opinion, they can only coach teams. Because how you want to teach someone if you don't know? How you want to teach piano if you never play the piano? So
right.
You need to have a feeling. Also, you need to have a kind of talent a little bit for, because skills coaching is, it's not easy. You have to connect with the player, right? And from our experience is that as more you push them, more you give them structure with the fun, they work hard, but they go home and they don't even realize they work hard. They had, because these sometimes parents ask, sometimes parents telling them, oh my God, you guys push them so hard, but while having fun. And I think it's very important. We don't waste time. We push them, and then all of a sudden, Alex said, 60 minutes gone. And the kids are so tired, but with big smile. And for us, this is the most important, to see kids coming with a smile and kids leaving with a smile and tired, exhausted. It's we want to push them, but it's just individual. Some kids, you can push them, you can yell at them. In some of the kids, you cannot yell at them too much. So you need to find always balance, and it's not easy. Not everyone can do that. You have some coaches, they just constantly yell. And then you have coaches, they are too nice. So the kids taking advantage. So you need to find a balance. And then, of course, you have some of the crazy parents behind the fence. They try to do our jobs. Well, Alex just told me that some of them tell.
that's the main problem here, the sideline coaching, right? During the team, during the game, during the weekend, or our practices, I didn't see many team practices, right? So I can only tell about games. And in Europe or all over the world, some teams, they don't even allow to parents attend the team training, right? They have their own closed facility, like us in Porto. We were 17 and we trained in the morning. Then they went to school. The players who were from Porto or who were Portuguese and attend the school. So we just bus took us outside of Porto to our training facility. And there was not even one parent. There was only coaches, only staff. And they let the parents trust the coaches. So if you choose us, you either trust us and observe, enjoy the practice, right? Or if you want to coach your kid during our session, then you are in the wrong place, right? And it's a problem. And the problem is also players looking at the parents, especially after mistake, right? Or just looking for the parent, if I'm doing good, if I'm not doing good. And for us, this is, you lose the focus. You lose the focus. You start to talk to your parent. So this is for us a big no. And that's why we also want to bring the culture that the once the players step on the field, will 60 minutes be on the field. Forget about what is outside, who is looking at you, who is talking to you, because once you're going to be pro, there's going to be more people talking to you, yelling at you, how you performing bad and how you suck during the game. So you have to just don't listen to that and focus on what you do on the field for those 60 minutes or eventually 90 minutes.
Yes.
I'll give you one quick example from Germany, okay? Borussia Dortmund, one of the biggest clubs in developing youth players. So one of my friends who has Academy Dortmund brought one player for just tryout, 8 years old.
Wow.
And the laces got untied. So the mom almost ran into the field. And 8 years old and started tying the shoes. The coach stopped the practice, looked at her and told her, take your son and go away. And she's looking, and kids, of course, start crying. Your son, if he's 8 years old, he doesn't know how to tie his shoes. He will never be professional. And send them, and it's just that it's, and for us, we are private academy. So our bills are paid by parents. It's tricky because if you are a club like Borussia Dortmund, there is no question. You say one word, you out.
I think that's the difference, is that you guys also have to cater to where you're at. And I think that's a detriment to our culture here, is that I think the best thing I ever heard was, I use this analogy all the time, and the story all the time is when you talk, the shoelace is a perfect example of it. A coach expected his players to pack their own bags, and him and his brother wear the same size boots, and he grabbed his brother's left boot and his left boot, and he went off to their game. And the coach, he looked to his parents, says, I have two left boots. The parents went to the coach, what do you want us to do? And the coach goes, make him wear two left boots, because he has to learn. And he goes, he never forgot his boots ever again after that. And to me, as a parent, those are the life lessons. And from the sounds of it, you all have that expectation of us as parents, is to make sure that our player is wanting to be there. I don't know how many, I know there's a lot of kids that love this game and want to go do it all the time. I know that I can give examples where kids will be willing to be verbally abused, and maybe not physically abused, but take the inappropriate language from a coach, and just so they can play the game because they just want to play. And I think the message that you guys are portraying is that you can be hard and have fun and use the right tone and still be positive. I always find it funny is that we listen to other coaches quite a bit. And I remember watching a game, the coach is sitting there yelling at the player because they made a mistake. Then instantly they switched. It was like a light switch going off, and they're applauding them for turning the negative into such a positive moment. And I think that's a very hard ability to do as a coach. I think coaches, I know as a parent, I have to cool down. Even if something positive is there, I can't just turn off that switch. And from the sounds of it, that's what you are trying to create. Now, what programs do you guys offer in the beginning? So let's start with the younger ages. Let's start with U8 and younger. I don't know how young you all go, but let's start with U8 and younger and work our way through the programs.
I would like to just go back to the positive and negativity. You always have to end up the practice with the positive words, right? Especially with the majority of the players, with the younger players, right? As you said, some of them, they like it that some coaches yell at them because it makes them feel that they are getting better and tougher. But we always try to finish the session with the positive words. We start at the age of 6 up to 16/18. And so we have either complete beginners, or those kids are already in the clubs in early age, advanced up to elite players, right? Most of our players are already in the clubs. We don't have recreational players. Maybe if I recall now, 2-3 are trying to get the club, 2-3-4 players from recreational. Since we keep the same or very similar skills level, then we always have to invite the player for a tryout. And there was few kids that we had to tell them, unfortunately, they cannot be in our group because the level is not there. They have to either find another academy where they focus more on the recreational or really beginners and then come back, or join the club, get the basics from recreation to club and then come back. We have 6 to 9 years old. We teach them the basics, the fundamental of the soccer, right? Which is the most important, because if you skip this development, then age of 10, 11, 12 is very hard to go back. We have some players age 11, 12, they are coming from rec, and it's very late. It's too late for them.
A lot of touches on the ball, a lot of touches on the ball for the younger age, and very competitive small games. The kids can focus for a certain amount of the time. So we have 60 minutes of training. Let's say we give them 20 minutes of skills, but very slow. We teach them basic, like Alex said, but we focus. Let's say we have our methodology is teaching them cuts, moves, tricks, fakes, but we don't jump from one to each up to second one, like short amount of time. So we teach them properly and slow. They need to learn it by repetition. And then at the end of our practice, we give them game, because the kids, they naturally want to play game. They want to compete. So if you just drill them, then all of a sudden say, oh, it's not fun anymore. Some kids are okay with that, but most of the kids go there, they just want to have fun. But it's not going to be always fun. So you need to find a balance between teaching them by repetition and then lose it. Give them the game. Once they get older, of course, they are already on the level. They can do our cuts, moves, right? Then we'll push them with the speed. So we make them to do moves and cuts in much quicker way that they make a mistake. So the early age about just fun and teaching the basic ball control, competitive runs, sprints in the game.
Then we adding with the older kids, we adding pressure either from the player, from the coach. We adding brain kinetic exercises with the colors. They have to connect brain and then upper body, lower body. Step by step, everybody would say, like, when you build a house, you start with the foundation and then you can build more. And I see some academies, or I see some coaches, some players that at the early age, they are doing more advanced stuff that they should be. That's our philosophy, and that's what we believe, that you have to master first those basic skills before you move to more advanced training.
Basically street soccer. Street, like we told you before, the life is so structured, kids are so structured, they go to school, they tell them what to do, they go to training, coaches, they make the cones, it's like circus. Imagine 8 years old boy or girl comes to the training, everywhere are cones. Says, oh, this is not the freedom of the play. This is, I want to play. The cones are giving them, they get in anxiety. So we wanted to build a program for kids with freedom of the free like play and also less structure. Like we used to, like the street soccer, a lot of touches on the ball, making mistakes. And that's what we do. Sometimes we try to keep the competitive groups because then we can push the player. So you see a lot of, I think Coach Alex can tell you more about it because he's here more often, but it's a lot of skills coaches at the park here. The range of the age is so like big, the gap is so big. So how you can train 15 years old girl with 10 years old boy at the same time? It's impossible unless you do individual stuff.
Now with the street ball philosophy, my understanding, it was not always you might have an 8-year-old with an 18-year-old in that group too. And that 8-year-old will be challenged by the 18-year-old, but the 18-year-old's not really going to go in there and level the 8-year-old. But in time, that 8-year-old will be a little bit older, and that 18-year-old can now play harder against that 8-year-old because they have the skill set. So I get what you're saying. You need all this so they can progress faster, I feel. Not that 18-year-old might be at their top level and that 8-year-old's only playing catch-up. So I get what you're saying. And with your street soccer, I just, as a parent, there's no place here to go play street soccer. Everything, like you said, is so structured. And just to call up friends, I'm 40. So I'm going back when I was a kid, we played basketball from sun up to sun down every single day during the summer in between chores. So there was no inside unless it was raining. And that was my memories as a kid, but we disappeared for 12 hours a day and didn't come home, pack ourselves lunches or just come home for lunch or a snack and back out the door, riding a bike 1 or 2 miles from home.
This is a worldwide problem right now because the life is so hectic. In Vancouver, for example, you cannot just let kids go outside. It's dangerous. Honestly, it becomes dangerous. You're not going to send your 8 years old go, especially I'm talking about downtown or something like
right.
that. Unless you live in a small village and you know the surrounding. So you're not. So this is basically, even in Europe, it has changed. Only maybe in Spain. Africa is different. They play always outside if they have a balls equipment. If you give
yes.
them, they play for 12 hours. But you don't see them anywhere else. It's like the life is so quick.
It's quick and there are phones, right? I see players until the last moment to be on the phone. And then the first thing after the practice, they just check the phone. Right. This is also a big problem. I think also like adults have problem with that. And I spend a lot of time on the phone, but I know where there is a practice, there is a no phone policy. So we have also, we tell our players, like, don't bring your watches. Okay. First of all, you can injure someone. Second of all, don't get disturbed by the watches. So everything, leave outside of the field, bring your water, focus for 60 minutes. We are talking about that. Everything is structure now, and there are a lot of distraction for the player.
When you saw Alex comes to the training as a soccer boots. Of course, this is our culture. You look like you behave like a coach. You see a lot of coaches training, skills training with runners. It's no, our culture is to, if you're a soccer coach, you have the watches, you are on time, you are ready for that, you have a soccer boots, and you prepare. Because I expect the same from my kids. If my kid comes with a big hoodie, I say, no, you don't look like a soccer player. You cannot play with the hoodie like that. They come with no water bottle. Where's your water bottle? You're ready for training. Go and get your water bottle. If someone comes with runners, you cannot train. You have to, like, for us, it's a job, but we love our job. It's like we want to teach the culture. And I know it's hard for some of the parents because it's some parents, they just come on time very late. No, you cannot join us. Like, you interrupt our training.
I think that goes back to the culture. And I think having expectations and having respect, I think that's might be the better word. of what you guys are doing for them. And I think the issue here in the United States, not everywhere, but not everyone, but it's a pay-to-play model, and we're paying you to do a service. Therefore, we expect to be able to participate, even if we're 30 minutes late. And I can honestly say, as a parent, it is something we're instilling in our kids. Being on time is late. Being early, 10 minutes early, is on time and ready to go. And I think that is something that is missing in our culture, because it is so structured and everyone is on the go. And I think they have to build in time to prep. As you're moving through the age groups, you move, let's say, U12 and younger. What do you all do once they have the foundation? You were talking about building a house. The best advice I ever heard, the kids that make it pro are the ones that have the foundation. The kids that have true foundation there will make it pro. It's not no shortcuts. There's no tricks. It's putting the grind in and getting it there. That's the difference between the average player and the elite player, is the foundation. So when you have the foundation built with your use, let's say U9 and younger, and you're going to U10 and up, what is the difference then in those sessions versus for them versus the younger sessions?
There is, we are adding the pressure, we are adding higher speed, all those game situation, shoulder checks, protecting the ball, a lot of 1v1 situation, 2v2 situations. We are getting closer and closer to professional training. Of course, we're also adding a shooting training, what we offer, where we focus only on shooting. That's for older kids, 10 years old and older at the moment. So the biggest difference between those age groups is the speed and less time to react on the situation, bigger pressure. We start also with some passing exercise, or we adding passing drills to the skills training. So I would say that's the biggest difference.
But also, we cannot forget that most of the kids, we have them once a week. You have 60 minutes. So you can push them as much as you can, but if they go three times, four times a week with the team, and basically it's a lower team and the team practice is not competitive, there's only certain things what we can do, right? So it's not the same like when you have them three times. Once the kids get older, they have less time for us. It's even in Europe, in Czech Republic, in Canada, because our job is to help them to grow, to get them from the lower club to high, to biggest club. But it's a little bit tricky, because imagine that we develop them, we spend a lot of time. We're on the early age, we have them three times a week, then two. And once they get, for example, to White Caps, which is MLS club in Vancouver, they don't have a time for us. So it's a little bit tricky. So you can just help as you have them only once a week or twice a week. A lot of pressure. Once they get very confident on the ball, a lot of pressure on the ball or even without the ball.